Our next case is 22-8023 Knesevich v. United States. And Mr. Rhodes for the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honor. Quentin Rhodes on behalf of the Knesevichs and the other victims of the Roosevelt fire. May it please the court. I'd like to begin by focusing the court's attention on the Forest Service Manual, specifically Section 5130.3, and that can be found in the Volume 1 of the appellate's appendix of record at page 103. And the specific subsection of 5130.3 is subsection 8, but it's important to note the fact that 5130.3 is entitled, quote, policy, unquote. And then if we turn to subparagraph 8, it says human-caused fires and trespass fires will be managed to achieve the lowest cost and fewest negative consequences with primary consideration given to firefighter and public safety. It goes on, but I want to stop there to make a point. Now, this is clearly and plainly traditional firefighter discretion language, and it gives broad deference to the judgment of the people who are there on the ground at the time. And they apply their experience, they apply the resources that they have available, they look at the weather and the other circumstances of the case and make policy judgments and make decisions about how to respond to a human-caused fire. And that was the focus of the district court decision. But the subsection doesn't stop there. It goes on, quote, and without consideration to achieving resource benefits, unquote.
Counsel, sorry to interrupt you, but I think I know where you're going with this. The mandatory language here that's on the face of this policy statement seems a lot like what we had in Hardscrabble. Could you address how the Hardscrabble decision isn't dispositive here?
Yes, the difference between this case and Hardscrabble is Hardscrabble included resource benefit consideration as one of the things that the firefighters were allowed to consider in responding to a naturally occurring fire. So that difference between a naturally occurring lightning fire and this fire, which is human caused, is key because the regulation draws a line for, it marks a boundary for firefighter discretion. Firefighters, it could be a great idea for resource benefits for a human caused fire to be manage in a particular way, but the firefighters are not allowed to consider whether or not it is a good idea to allow a fire to burn for resource benefits if it's human caused. And so that discretion, while broad, is not extended to the consideration of resource benefits. And so that's how it differs from Hardscrabble. In Hardscrabble, there was an environmental assessment that addressed this very thing and said, yes, firefighters can consider resource benefits in deciding
certainly
whether
the facts differ from Hardscrabble, as you've suggested. It was a naturally occurring fire. But the issue, I think, was very similar in that the argument was that there was this mandatory language requiring that they follow some checklist in making their decisions. And the agency admittedly did not follow this checklist, but it was a mandatory checklist.
Well, the difference here, I think, Your Honor, is that resource benefits is on the checklist in the Hardscrabble Ranch case. It's not on the checklist here.
But the issue is up a level. The issue is, okay, the agency admits it didn't follow a mandatory duty that it had, or seemingly had. I don't know if I'd call it duty, but that's the same here. I mean, nobody's suggesting that they did comply as they should have. But the problem is it's part of an overall bigger picture, which is very much discretionary.
Your Honor, I agree with that, but in the Hardscrabble case, they do have that discretion. Whether they abused it or not, or whether they were negligent or not, doesn't matter if you have that discretion. And here they don't have that discretion. This draws a clear line that says,
but it used mandatory language in Hardscrabble too. But the point was, yes, they may have abused their discretion in not following the checklist, just as here there may have been an abuse of discretion.
Well,
but it's still part of a discretionary a larger discretionary determination.
And the reason that we don't think it is because this is a policy statement. It's 5130.3 says policy. Hardscrabble involved a checklist that was guidance for firefighters. Please remember to check on these different items.
But Hardscrabble didn't turn on whether the underlying regulation or document or whatever it was authoritative. Right? I mean, it didn't say, well, there is no policy here, so it's an easy case.
Well,
just like there's no debate here that the policy statement that we're looking at has some authoritative value in the case?
Well, I think the difference is that, in fact, in this case, there is a policy that says specifically, with respect to human-caused fires, as you will not consider resource benefits. And in Hardscrabble, there wasn't a policy along those lines. In fact, that was a specific thing that was allowed to be considered. And it seems to us that's a big difference. If you say firefighters not only can, but should consider resource benefits in a lightning strike fire, and differ from this case where it says they can't ever consider resource benefits as a matter of policy in a human caused fire, that seems like a dispositive distinction where Hardscrabble Ranch is certainly guidance for the decision in this case, but it's not sufficiently on all fours to be.
Is it that in Hardscrabble what was mandated was itself discretionary? In other words, had an inherently discretionary kind of weighing feature to it, whereas this is not like that?
Well, I think this is not like that in the sense that what you can't do as a firefighter in this case is say, you know, this fire might actually do this forest a lot of good if we just let it burn. You're not allowed to make that, as a matter of policy, you're not allowed to even consider that question. So it's not that you apply your judgment or you don't apply your judgment. Your judgment absolutely does not apply in this context. And that's a statement of policy. It's not a guideline. And that's what we urge to be the mistake that the district court made, is to say that even though this is set forth in a policy statement, it's merely guidance. And that decision suggests that firefighters can decide, well, if it's a good idea to let this burn for resource benefits, we're going to do that. And that's not an abuse of discretion. It's not a mistake. It's flatly prohibited. And it goes back to the cases that I talk about, for example, Ball from New Mexico, where you have an engineer who's got a lot of discretion in how he administers a contract that's being performed by private contractors, but there's a specification that says that the private contractor cannot leave a certain state extent when they leave the project. And so there's lots of discretion allowed for the engineer, except there was a specification that says you cannot leave a berm within a certain amount of distance from the surface of the lake, and the administrator let the contractor leave it. And that was a proscription. It was a prohibition. And they said that although there's all this discretion in the agency and the engineer and how they administer their contract, they can't violate this specification. And so the discretionary function exception doesn't apply because there's no discretion. And that's specifically the holding, for example, of the Lapone case. It's specifically the homo.
If I could interrupt here, I'm trying to understand how this would work. If we're going to write an opinion reversing the district court, you know, we need to give some guidance to the lower court and really the Forest Service in applying its Forest Service manual. And in this, a fire commences on September 15th. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
When did the Forest Service determine that it was human-caused?
The determination on that was within a couple of days. There was not a clear determination, but the...
That's probably true in almost every fire, that there's some ambiguity about what the cause was. And so the Forest Service duty didn't apply until... what they authoritatively, definitively determined that it was human-caused? Well, it's Section 8 to apply?
Yes, Your Honor, but according to the Forest Service expert witness that they supplied in support of their motion to dismiss, that if fires of unknown origin are treated as human-caused fires, and that's not something that we came up with, it's the expert for the Forest Service that says that. So until they determine it to naturally cause, this section would apply, and this policy would be binding.
Well, That seems to just bring into a host of judgments that the Forest Service is going to have to make. You started out your argument with talking about the various factors like weather and other resources being deployed to other fires. So is the Forest Service obligation then under the Federal Tort Claims Act to commit maximum resources to fighting a fire until they determine that it was naturally caused?
No, Your Honor, and they very rarely commit maximum resources to fighting a fire. They've got lots of resources, but they have to leave some in reserve in case there's another fire and that sort of thing. And weighing these circumstances is what the discretionary function exception is supposed to address. But one of the things that
might they have fought this fire the exact same way under Section 8 than they did?
Well, we don't know that. I mean, right. The evidence below was not did not.
Is that a jury question then? What they might have done differently had they deployed resources sooner?
And well,
is that a liability question? Is that a damages question?
Well, it would become a liability question if the court has jurisdiction. So the first thing we have to do is figure out whether there's subject matter jurisdiction, and if there's discretion that can be applied, then there isn't.
Right.
And if there's not, then there is. And here there's no discretion with respect to the consideration of those natural resource benefits.
Is that the challenged conduct, is the consideration of resource benefits for purposes of Berkowitz?
Yes, Your Honor. To focus on the challenged conduct, that's exactly it, is the implication from the evidence that this fire was used for natural resource benefits. And, of course, that's disputed.
Well, that's one aspect, right? I mean, aren't you really just challenging the overall decision to just simply monitor the fire, at least the initial decision to monitor the fire, which is where you say they were considering resource benefits?
Yes. And,
but the bigger picture is the initial decision to monitor the fire. And you're not contending, are you, that the resource benefits was the only aspect that they had to consider in making that initial decision to monitor?
It's the
Surely
only
that bigger decision is discretionary and based on many, many factors.
Resource benefits was the only factor that they were prohibited from considering.
I understand that, but the bigger decision, the conduct that you're really complaining of, was the decision to monitor, which included this factor, the resource benefits factor. But you're not suggesting that initial decision was made based only on that factor. It certainly was made on a lot of discretionary factors.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about here, and that's the Hardscrabble case where it says, there's this bigger picture. The bigger issue, which is the decision to monitor, is discretionary. There's just no question about that. And within that, there's this seemingly mandatory language about one aspect of that decision. And that's what we had in Hardscrabble.
Well, it's our contention that, factually speaking, that the reason that they decided to monitor this fire was as a resource benefit fire. So if that factor hadn't been...
That was the only decision they had to think about, not their availability of firefighters, other fires that they might have, weren't there many, many factors that probably went into that decision to monitor?
Well, we don't dispute that there might have been.
Right.
But
so it was a bigger decision. The decision to monitor was a bigger decision than just resource benefits.
We are alleging that the factor that caused them to take the decision that they did is the resource benefit factor. So that was the linchpin. There are other ways to fight this fire instead of just monitoring it. But they decided to monitor it, as we allege, because of the resource benefit it would bring. And because they're not allowed to, if that's the decision point that they're not allowed to consider, then that decision is not within their discretion. They're prohibited from taking that decision on that basis. And that's what it boils down to.
So it doesn't have to be the sole cause, right? I mean, if the resource benefits factored into the decision making, and that's prohibited.
Right.
That's the mandatory component. That's the specific action that they were instructed not to take, right?
That's right. And how that weighs into it, we don't know here because we didn't get to depose the people who made the decision. So however they might have weighed it, they're not supposed to be weighing it. And if they can't weigh it, then their decision would be different than it was given that way. And I see my time is up. If there are no more decisions, we would urge that the court reverse the district court decision.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We'll give you one strike. Good morning. Levi Martin for the United States. May it please the court. I want to start off with the discussion on the Hardscrabble Ranch case. The distinction that the appellants are trying to draw here is really one without a difference. The idea that it was somehow lightning caused, allowing for resource benefits, isn't the impetus of that decision. That's just not part of it. Nowhere in there was that referenced as a meaningful part or a distinction of why the U.S. Forest Service was able to continue and make the decision they did. The relevant holding, which applies equally here, is that the Forest Service maintained its discretion because there's no policy or procedure which, quote, explicitly told the Forest Service to suppress the fire in a specific manner and within a specific period of time. What they're saying is they failed to show a regulation, a statute, or a policy that said that the Forest Service had to do it in that way, in that specific time. They failed the same way here, too.
But you're not suggesting this isn't an authoritative policy. You're just suggesting that it doesn't have a mandatory directive.
That's exactly correct, Your Honor. The fact is, and I want to get to, I'll address that further in a moment, but I want to get to your second point that you asked, counsel, and that is whether or not the checklist was mandatory. It appeared as if, both in the briefing and at the argument, that it somehow suggested that checklist was some sort of guidance and that they didn't necessarily have to apply to it, follow it. That's not what Hardscrabble said. Both the district court and this court assumed that it applied, that it was mandatory. We don't disagree that the Forest Service manual policy applies. The problem for the plaintiffs or appellants in this case is the same as it was for Hardscrabble, and that is that the mandatory part of it, and I just want to read another quote, existence of some mandatory language does not eliminate discretion when the broader goals sought to be achieved necessarily involve an element of discretion. That's exactly what this policy that has been referenced throughout this litigation is.
But it seems that this language removes, it's like at a higher order of thinking here. It removes a factor from the decision-making process that would then open up discretion, right? It's like as you're exercising your discretion, you cannot think about this thing. So isn't that different from Hardscrabble?
I don't think at all, quite frankly. If you look at it and you read it and parse it out, human caused fires and trespass will be managed to achieve lowest cost, that's a factor, fewest negative consequences, another factor, with primary consideration for firefighter and public safety. That's a weighing, that's even telling you. And then
more.
It's telling you, yeah, and then it's telling you, you don't consider, this is zero. So it's still part of an entirely consistent policy that tells you to weigh a bunch of different factors. And that's exactly what Hardscrabble says you do. Hardscrabble says mandatory language doesn't remove it.
But if you're supposed to apply zero to resource benefit and you assign, you know, primary consideration to it, why doesn't that de facto violate a mandatory directive of the policy manual?
Well, I would argue
that's what they're saying here. It says that, you know, you know, I think they'll stipulate about the other factors, but you assign a weight to this factor that should get zero weight.
Understood. But what Hardscrabble is saying is that may be an abuse of discretion. At the end of the day, there are still a number of factors. And if there are still a number of factors for you to weigh, that's the first prong of the Berkovitz test. The discussion is over. That's the first prong. If you are still allowed to create all these different sort of considerations, you've not, as the appellants have, not met the first prong of the Berkovitz test.
If I'm understanding Judge Tomkiewicz's question correctly, I mean, I think the point is that it's not really weighing, right? If you're directed to not consider something, or as you say, zero, that removes it from the weighing. It doesn't incorporate it into the weighing. It seems different to me from Hartscrabble. I'm not quite sure how this is weighing.
Well, I would say that in Hartscrabble, the second part of the discussion was whether or not if there was a yes, then they would not have been able to continue to manage it the way they did. That would be the same analogy here, right? Which is if there was some sort of use of resource benefit, then they would have abused their discretion in doing that. That still doesn't remove the discretion. I understand the court's point and the distinction, but again, I think it's too fine of a point to make a difference in the overall discussion and coming to the conclusion that the discretion remains.
So in Hartscrabble, there's an affirmative obligation to do something, which is to utilize the checklist in exercising your discretion and to decide whether to exercise your discretion. Here, there's a mandatory obligation not to consider a particular item in exercising your discretion.
That's entirely...
And you're saying that should be treated the same.
Yeah, it's
still part of the overall discretion.
I would say it's the flip side of the same coin. But I want to take a step back and say, you know, it's not just this idea that they find or apply to a policy that somehow removes resource benefits. What they're really asking for and what they've asked for since the complaint, in fact, at page 3, paragraph 2, what they've said is there's a policy requiring human-caused fires be suppressed. They say Forest Service enjoyed no discretion in whether to adhere to the federal policy of suppressing human-caused fires. There is no policy that says that. They've never found one. What they're trying to say is by implication of no resource benefits, suppression is the only alternative. And that's just not the case.
Is he correct in saying that all fires are assumed to be human-caused until demonstrated otherwise?
I would say that's correct. So the fact is the Forest Service does indeed treat an unknown cause of a fire as a human-caused fire. I would say there was...
And when you treat it that way, what does that mean? What does the policy then direct your managers to do?
So what you do is you evaluate a whole bunch of different factors, one of which would be firefighter safety. Are you going to throw a bunch of firefighters up the hill in difficult-to-access terrain? You're going to assess cost. You're going to source resource benefits. You're going to assess, you know, the resources that you have available to you. Those are all the things they did. In fact, those manifest themselves inside that incident report decisions. There's one on, I think, the 16th and one on the 18th. Those show you the factors that they went through. And so at the end of the day,
Then they've confirmed that it was human caused. Then what happens? What are your managers supposed to do?
It's the same analysis. I mean, the fact
would
of the matter
differ if it were lightning caused versus human caused?
I'm sorry?
If it's human caused, then you're not required to, I guess, the policy manual says you can't use a let it burn philosophy.
No, that's
if,
not.
If you're trying to reduce the load in the forest and those other potential benefits.
Right. Okay, that's the distinction because that's important because what they did here was they decided to monitor it because the location was in a dangerous location. They couldn't easily access it. They didn't have the resources. They followed the policy to the extent that because it was unknown, the same as human cause, they went through the analysis and they didn't use resource benefits for any part of it.
But that's the merits question. I mean, if they made the decision to monitor because they did the thing proscribed, right?
Because they, well,
if
it wasn't
they made
prescribed,
the decision to monitor because they considered resource benefits.
No, that's not accurate. They monitored it.
I'm not talking about the actual. I'm saying if the decision to monitor, the way in which they made the decision to monitor, was informed by a consideration of resource benefits, wouldn't that be a problem?
I'm not sure.
You're saying that would be just an abuse of discretion. You're not suggesting that there's any sort of violation of a mandatory directive in that case, right?
Right. And so that's not a problem in the sense that, first of all, that's part of why the, it's called a WFDS, the Wildland Fire Decision Support System, was provided as part of the record. And that is, it shows that resource benefit wasn't a part of it. That would get to the merits, but you don't have to get there. I mean, I think we have established that under Hardscrabble, you don't need to get there. But the second part of that would be, yes, of course.
Well, what if Mr. Rhodes got some discovery here and deposed the primary manager in charge of this fire, and he said, yeah, I applied a resource benefits factor in my decision.
Can we credit
his motive, and why wouldn't that violate the policy statement?
Because at this point, it's a fishing expedition, Your Honor. I mean, at the end of the day, those WFDIS decisions, those incident reports, are the ultimate, that is the incarnation of the decision. What they're asking for is to go talk to somebody and say, hey, did you really mean what you said?
That's litigation. That's what we do.
They did have the public information officer's statement to a reporter.
They did.
This was exactly what was being done, was they were using resource benefits.
Right. Well,
that's a fact question. But if you get to that point, you've got a fact question on your hands.
Well, you don't, in the sense that...
Did they consider resource benefits? And they have some evidence to suggest it could have. You can't find those facts. You've got to infer in favor of the plaintiff at this stage.
No, I think what the district court did and was appropriate is said that's essentially a scintilla of evidence. That's not a public information officer to reporter doesn't make that accurate.
Information officer gets that information from somewhere within the agency. We can make that assumption.
Well, they do or they don't. They may be confused.
It certainly could raise a fact question.
Well, and the plaintiff asked for additional discovery here. I mean, they had a motion and said, don't decide summary judgment until I have an opportunity to develop a record here. And that was denied, and why shouldn't the plaintiff have gotten a little additional discovery to take the deposition and find out the motives?
I think, as was found out at the oral argument, a lot of the basis of which the plaintiffs were relying upon to vet and somehow question what the WFDIS was and the decision making behind it was essentially they had a hired expert that said, hey, look, we agree this is the final decision. We agree this is where you would expect to find a discussion of resource benefits if indeed they were actually going to be used. And they said, well, apparently it's not there, so that must be incompetence. That's made out of whole cloth. In fact, the court said that at the oral argument. That's the basis for their question and desired discovery. And the court found that was made out of whole cloth. That's a fishing expedition, and that's why you shouldn't allow discovery to go on. It's not an abuse of discretion for the court to have decided not to allow for it. I think that's the answer to that question. At the end of the day, I would say, the Hardscrabble case, the idea that some mandatory language does not remove discretion is really the take-home point here. And the Olson case from the 10th Circuit in 2021 kind of reaffirms that. I mean, it talks about how Forest Service decisions on fire suppression are protected by the discretionary function exception. The Esquivel case from 2021 in the 9th Circuit, I mean, in that circuit, of course, a circuit which has states that have a number of other firefighting activities that go on a yearly basis, they've basically said it's settled law. It says, quote, our precedent already establishes that claims involving how the government conducts fire suppression operations are generally barred by the discretionary function exception. And that makes sense, too, right? I mean, the Forest Service is going to have to be able to handle, on a case-by-case basis, with discretionary questions to be asked, every single fire that comes across. There's hundreds of thousands of acres that burn. There's millions, if not billions, of dollars that are expended trying to manage these fires. They have to be able to have the discretion. If they have the discretion, that's the first prong. And we haven't talked about today, and it really hasn't been talked about in the litigation, the second prong. I think that's a kind of a given. In any event, the fact is the Forest Service needs this discretion. The very small, distinct, nuanced aspect of the Forest Service manual that they're focused on doesn't remove that discretion, and that's why we think you should affirm the district court. Unless there's further questions, thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Appreciate it. Counselor excused, and the case will be submitted. The court will take a break, and we will reconvene at 10:50.